So, a quick word from our sponsor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's completely free. There's creation tools to allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with minimum listenership. It's easy. Everything to make a podcast is in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe at Robin's Podcast or email us on robinspodcast@gmail.com.
The Bracknell Town Podcast. For fans, by fans. Come on the Robins.
Bush from her 1985 hit Running Up That Hill from the album Hounds of Love, a fitting tribute to the Hilliers, or the Hill, our host today at Burgess Hill FC in the Emirates FA First qualifying round. We're visiting the More Than Tyres Leyland Park Stadium, Burgess Hill, West Sussex. Now, Burgess Hill Football Club was founded in 1882 and was a founder member of the Sussex County Football Association. The club attained the unique achievement of winning the Sussex Senior Cup 3 years running, thus retaining it permanently in the process. The trophy now remains in the clubhouse. The team play in green jerseys with vertical black stripes and black shorts at home and all white away. Former Brighton and Hove Albion defender Ian Chapman was appointed manager in 2011 and he steered the club to promotion from the 8th tier and they became Isthmian League Division 1 South champions in 2015. The team includes some former Portsmouth and Brighton and Hove Albion players. They are renowned for playing deep, especially with their pace deep-lying forwards who can cross the ball on a five-pence piece. Their ground capacity is 2,500, 400 of which is seated, and their current manager is Jay Lovett, and their current chairman is Kevin Newell. Club legend John Buck has not missed a cup tie since 1971. So why is Burgess Hill called Burgess Hill? Well, the name is almost certainly derived from that of the Burgess family, settling here in 1296. The name of John Burgess appears on the subsidy rolls in 1327, but I think I prefer the bacon rolls served at Bottom Meadow Stadium, home of the Robins. Now, nearby Ditchling Beacon is the third highest point on the South Downs in southeast England. King John I reportedly locked up a family in nearby Bramber Castle, where they starved to death. Ragged and skinny spirits have apparently been seen, ranging from very young children to adults. What a rotter. That's King John of my Christmas card list. Now, I'm going to hand you over to Burgess Hill's historian and programme editor, Kobo, for a few more facts that you didn't know about Burgess Hill. You're on.
Hello. In October 1981, Burgess Hill Town became the first team to have a female official, and her name was Liz Rutherford. And when she came to the ground, she had to get changed in another person that's been here for years in his back bedroom, just over there in the houses over there. And she came with TV and press coverage at the time. It was against Carshall. I mean, the football was nothing to write home about because we lost 5-1. But apparently she was all over the national newspapers the next day. And that particular feat was in the Guinness Book of Records, and it still is. So there's one of feet, one fact for Burgess Hill. And one of the hacks around here wrote that Miss Robert had to rush off afterwards to redo her hair.
Thank you so much, Kobo. That's brilliant. I'll make sure that gets posted and we'll send you a link. Many thanks.
This is your favourite reporter, Gizu, and bringing you all the news and views from Bracknell Town. I say, come on, you Robins.
A very warm welcome to Burgess Hill FC against Bracknell Town in the FA Cup. It's so excited to be here. Really, it's quite a long journey, you know, must say. And yeah, they were a little bit worrying on the motorway, that kind of classic time when it all seems to slow down a little bit and you start thinking, gosh, am I going to be late? But no, we got here in good time. Seems like a brilliant turnout for the home fans here. Really, really great turnout. The sun is shining and I've got to say, their pitch is looking absolutely fantastic. Whoever the groundkeeper is here, much plaudits because it really does look great. We've got, Burgess Hill starting to warm up round the cones, looking a very professional side, and the Robins all doing the same with their cones and starting the warm up process here in the Emirates FA Cup. As per normal, we will go and be with you at half time. And we've got Steve the Gaffer Witty with us, and also Paul as well, Paul Pomeroy. So hopefully he'll be giving some of his views of how it goes. As ever, thanks for joining us at the Unofficial Robins Podcast.
Stalwart fan Ben Martin Dyer, who's going to read the team sheet for us.
Good afternoon, Robins fans. And we'll start with number one, who is Mark Scott. Number two, Anthony Cheshire. Number three, Massimo Giammatta. Number four, Temi Ekawara. Number five, Danny Bayliss. Number six, James Clark. Number seven, your captain, Max Herbert. Number eight, Michael Atkinson. Number nine, Dave Tarpey. Number 10, Mikel Platt. Number 11, Sebastian Bauman. And your substitutes today are Scott Rees, George Knight, Shamar Moore, Joe Grant, Jonathan Cash, Hippolyte, Jack Dean, and Joseph Witter.
Come on, you Robins!
Well, you join us at half-time at Burgess Hill FC versus Bracknell Town at the Emirates FA Cup. I mean, when I say FA Cup, I don't know, what round
FA
are we?
Cup, FA
you
Cup.
You say FA Cup. I mean, yes, it sounds so important, doesn't it? So, what is the view, Steve the Gaffer Witty, so far of the first half?
Well, it's 0-0 at half-time here, and I've got to say, bearing in mind their bottom of the table, I'm very surprised by their Burgess Hill performance. A good, well-organised team, and if I'm honest, they've had a couple of chances out there. I would say they shaded the first half, if I'm honest. It was a good performance from them. We had a couple of moments ourselves, but no, I'm surprised by Burgess Hill.
Absolutely, and I think they're a team, aren't they, that seem really coordinated, really together. And, I just think not only did they come out fighting straight away out the blocks, they've continued that. I mean, there's been some incredible tackles, really strong, hard football, very fair, to be honest. I mean, going towards the end of the first half, so obviously there was a shot at goal that unfortunately was unsuccessful, and then the offside flag came up.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. And I think that was probably our best chance of the half, wasn't it? I think it was handball, actually, rather than offside. I think it bounced up off his hand, I think, was the ultimate. But, Tarpey had a clean strike that I thought was actually going to go in, and a great save by their keeper. It was good. I'm looking forward to a good second half. It's good football out here, by the way, as well. Good playing football. A lot of passing.
It is. And, got to say, being very friendly staff so far that we've seen, and stewards. A very nice setup here at Burgess Hill. Very much looking forward to the second half. Of concern is Mark Scott, number one, our goalkeeper, has gone off. In fact, actually went off with crutches, which is a big concern, obviously, for the league. He did look in a lot of pain. The same was actually on crutches going off. I don't know how that was caused. I think there are rumours that possibly it was a mishit or something of that nature that he overstrained. But we need to get some confirmation on that.
Bring on the second half. eventful time at Burgess Hill. What an eventful second half, and I've got to say, Bracknell have been soundly beaten. 2-0 is the final score. A very, very poor display from Bracknell. I've got to say, I don't think I've actually seen one that poor for a good period of time. Beaten pretty much everywhere across the pitch. Mark Scott off injured just before half time adds a little bit of a problem to us for a few games as well, I would think. And yeah, one of their players as well also gone off with a very bad fracture. Our centre back, our number four, going off, sent off with a straight red. Really disappointing performance from Bracknell and a disappointing result. All I'll say is good luck to Burgess Hill in the next round. They deserved it today.
Mark Scott, Robin's keeper, injured first half. Talk us through it.
So I've gone to kick the ball. I just felt a big pop on my quad. And I've tried to put my foot down and couldn't put weight through it, so I've hobbled off to the bench, basically.
So how do you think the season might go?
It'll be a couple of weeks, I think. Nothing major. The season's still fine. Have a bit of a rest.
It is a long season, so yeah, all the best. Speedy recovery. Bobby Wilkinson, Robin's manager.
Not interested in the league, it's all about today. I got beat, and I don't like losing, everyone knows that. But we got beat by a better side today. Got beat by a team that worked harder than my boys. Got beat by a team today that outplayed my boys today, and that doesn't normally happen on my watch, and that won't happen on my watch again. So you can imagine, like, my head is up high, but I am a very, very angry person. Not because I lost. I'm going to lose loads of games. I don't ever care about that. It's the manner, and I don't accept that.
Because last week you said to us that you were very experienced and you could handle the pressure. So I guess that's what it's all about.
But yeah, today was nothing about pressure. There was no pressure on today's game. It's an FA Cup game. It's just another game. This isn't pressure. I like playoffs of pressures. You know what I mean? And when you're about to win a cup. Today was about a team beat my lads with desire, a little bit of heart and a little bit more passion. And that don't normally happen. But since I've been at this football club, I think that's only happened maybe once or twice. So we'll dust ourselves down and we'll go again on Monday and we'll work extremely hard, ready for next week.
Many thanks, Bobby. We'll see you Monday. See you Monday.
Can't always come and give interviews when you're winning. You've got to give interviews when you're losing.
Exactly.
And that is my experience.
Post-match analysis with Captain Birdseye and Steve Whitty.
Very good morning. Good evening. Good day. Good morning. I said good morning. Well, good wherever you are. Good wherever you are. Wherever you're listening. Be that in the Berkshire beautiful area, be it in the kind of Brighton area, the Sandhurst area, wherever you are, be it the States, Nevada, we've got people listening from all over the place. You are listening to the Unofficial Robins Podcast with me, James, the Captain Birdseye, and my dear, dear friend is with me, Steve, the gaffer, the unofficial gaffer, Whitty. Thank you, Guy, as ways for all your incredible work. You know, he's so great. He puts it all together, this, and it takes such a long time. It really does. And you know, he works so hard to do that for us, so thank you so much, Guy. So yes, post-match kind of chat, really. Burgess Hill versus Bracknell in the FA Cup. It was a loss, wasn't it?
Well, first of all, good evening, James. Yes, it was a loss. And I think before we start talking about the game, I think we have to make comment, don't we, about Burgess Hill's Andrew Herring.
Yeah.
Of course, in terms of a horrific injury yesterday. I understand it's confirmed as a broken tibia and a fibula. And I believe he's going under the going down for an operation tomorrow. So let's wish him all the very best. You know, it's a it brings everything into context, this game of football. You know, it's a competitive sport, but we never like to see anyone injured like that.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I think the way that it was dealt with by the by everyone there, but also the absolute class of both our team of Bracknell and the Burgess Hill team, you know, they were all equally shocked and very, very supportive of each other. And yeah, it made me very proud of non-league as a whole, really. You know, It was a very sort of sad state of affairs. And you know, as you rightly say, these things unfortunately do and will happen in football. It is a very tough sport now, and even at this level, it is very competitive and very tough. And it will happen from time to time, but it's something that nobody wants to see. And our absolute best wishes goes to him, his family, and of course the club as a whole. And you know, from my point of view, I just think that it was a lovely club to be at. They were a consummate host, very 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 mm-hmm. nice to be around. And it was a nice day out. Apart from obviously that horrible thing that happened, and furthermore to that, the result.
I would call it I think it was a surprising result. I think there was so much surprising about yesterday that it's a case of how we're going to fit it in one podcast. It started for me that the team selection just looked odd from the start, and it sort of led on from there. I think at the start there we had James Clark, I think, was playing midfield. Joe Grant, who had an exceptional performance against Binfield, left on the bench. No Scott and George in. And then, of course, we found out as well that Caden's left the club. So I think even before sort of kickoff, there was a batch of surprises for us.
Do you feel that sort of something like, we're obviously... it is on a wider issue rather than actually necessarily the result, but actually someone that does leave the club, as fans, I guess it could be argued that's something that is nice to be aware of, I guess.
Yeah, and I've got to say, whatever circumstances I think Caden has left the club, I think it's only fair to acknowledge his efforts. He's been an exceptional player for us in this last couple of seasons. If he has left to almost leave the club under the radar, I don't know, a bit disappointed by that, and a bit disappointed to sort of find out, without really being officially told. So, I would hope that anyone who puts on the Bracknell shirt, We acknowledge them as joiners, we acknowledge them as leavers, and we thank them for all their efforts on behalf of the Robins. That's what I would hope we would always do.
Absolutely. And of course, it's not something that someone leaves the club, we're like, oh goodness, this is awful. Because the reality of football is that is, part of the game, isn't it, that people move around, and we know that. And I mean, yeah, going back to the game, the start for me, I very much felt that it was just the sort of the lighting came on and bang, they were out of the blocks. And I was very very surprised by just how good of a club that they were, and how I just feel that we didn't meet the challenge, really. It was difficult because when we're on the way back home, I was thinking, well, did they just play so brilliantly well, or did we play badly? And I think I've come to the conclusion that it was both, actually.
Yeah, I agree. Look, I think Burgess Hill are definitely better than their league position shows, and I think they'll have a reasonable season, and I would think they'll kick on from this game on Saturday. But saying that, we were very lacklustre. All the way across the pitch, if I'm honest, I don't think I would say that we were dominated by the better team. We were beaten by the better team on the day. All we seemed to want to do in that first half was keep the line on a long ball. I could hear Bobby sort of shouting from the touchline, sort of keep the ball moving. Well, we were definitely keeping it moving, but unfortunately, we're keeping it moving straight into the hands of Burgess Hill, I think.
At one point it felt like there was almost sort of no connection in passes. There were sorts of great balls, great first touches, and then the second, third, or even fourth touch was just absolutely lackluster and all over the place, really. It was a very difficult game. I mean, of concern as well, injury wise, was Mark Scott. I don't know if Guy got some more details on this at the side of the pitch for us, but it sounded like maybe his quad went or something like that when he was kicking a ball. He came off in with crutches, which is obviously a big concern to us going forward.
Yeah, and I think it was confirmed. I think I heard Mark Scott saying after the game, I think he's damaged his quad, which will be, I would think, a good few weeks out if that is the case. And of course, let's wish him all the very best and a speedy recovery. That pretty much, you know, tarnished what the first half was, wasn't it? 0-0, lackluster, important player taken off injured. I think we were all sort of looking at each other thinking, God, let's hope the second half can only get better sort of thing, didn't it?
Yeah, and actually that was very much the hope and sort of, we'll see how we do. But it just was more of the same, if not even worse, unfortunately.
Yeah, it was. I think. Look, second half. First goal was a great finish by their guy. Absolute great finish. But it wasn't unsurprising that we found ourselves 2-0 down before the dreadful event that happened. And if you looked at us at the other end of the pitch in the final third, I don't think we had a shot on target in that first half. I don't think we did. Not one of memory, anyway. And if you think about the fact that we've brought in supposedly two very high level strikers in sort of Clark and Tarpey, I think we'll all agree in that final third we have not clicked this season yet. You know, strangely, James Clark's playing midfield, Mikel, who I think we all rate.
Oh, very much so, and his work effort is incredible.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is. But unfortunately, what we've got at the moment, him and Tarpey do not seem to be connecting. They just seem, there doesn't seem to be any link. There's almost too much distance between each other. And, you know, when you're playing a sort of front two, there needs to be, you know, playing off each other. And unfortunately, and we weren't particularly creative from midfield. We were dominated by it. But every time we played that sort of long ball over the top, Mikel would get a flick or get a touch, but it would sort of bounce off him, and there was no one close enough to him to actually do anything with it. So let's hope. Look, we've got some quality in that final third.
Oh, absolutely! Yeah.
It's got to start showing, and I know they've only just started playing together, and they've come out of COVID. Okay, we all get that. Let's hope. We really need that front third of the pitch to start really connecting and showing what I think everyone in this league thinks we've got.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, when you look now, when you look at the positives, and I think it's very important, you know, we are going to be balanced on the podcast. And by the way, we'd absolutely love your views as well. So please do go and email us unofficialrobins@gmail.com. unofficialrobins@gmail.com. We really would. And you can also, on that as well, I'll give out the address later. You can go and leave us a voice message as well, which is a really good way of just giving your views. I mean, I very much think that this is a wake-up call, a big wake-up call. And like with any club, we're going to have good days, we're going to have bad days. This was a bad day for a number of reasons in terms of the result. But at the end of the day, it's the league which is our focus. Of course it is. And let's just hope that it's one of those things. It's a bit of a blip, and we're just going to keep on fighting the league, you know, and we're going to keep that position where we really hope to be, which is, you know, in the top at the top of the league with the Eastman and South Central.
Yeah, I think we all know it's league for us. That's what we're absolutely concentrating on. But, you know, there was some great class shown by the players who at the end of the game actually came over and apologised to the fans. OK,
wow.
And I think that does genuinely show that you know, we've really got some players out there that absolutely care. And so do we genuinely care with a passion. And you're right. everyone has bad days at the office, but if there's one thing that you show between the two games, you know, desire and fight. You saw us against Binfield, okay, and we looked a completely different team. I genuinely feel that we might have come out against Burgess Hill and almost thought that we deserved to win the game before we kicked the ball. And I think we were very surprised in the first 20 minutes. And I don't think we ever caught our breath from there. And if there's one thing I'd say to the players, you know, you've got to get out there and you've got to fight from every moment, because everyone's going to want to beat Bracknell Town this season. Every single person is going to want to beat us.
And we heard that, didn't we? We heard that Hanwell. Yes, I mean the gentleman that I was speaking to, the former MP, you know, he said to me, he said, you know, everybody knows your name now. Everybody knows your name. And he said, you know, he said, you're the ones to beat, aren't you? And I thought, oh goodness. Yeah, that's not really what I want to hear, because it's a hell of a lot of pressure on those players, hell of a lot of pressure on the management, and we know that. We know that. But, you know, as I say, I think it's, you know, I think they were very, very classy, our players, as always. With the fans, you know, they came up to myself actually and said, you know, sorry, it wasn't great. And I was, you know, that's the beauty of Nun League, and obviously I've got to be careful. I can't talk too much obviously about the opposition player that was very injured, but what I would say is that the interaction between the two sets of teams was magnificent and just something really, really amazing to see, and real sportsmanship actually.
Yeah, and I think we see that across non-league. Is one of the reasons that drags us into this game. You know, these we've got to respect, these aren't professional players, okay? They are going to get things wrong. We are occasionally going to lose games, hopefully occasionally rather than often. Mistakes and mistimed tackles are going to happen. But at times, you know, it's all about how they react to these situations. And, you know, that includes the very professional reaction from the club. And I thought the excellent message, by the way, on Twitter that the gaffer put out in terms of to the club, in terms of full support of Andrew Herring, which I thought was really nice and right.
Yes, absolutely.
And of course, that also then has to hopefully echo in terms of, you know, what these guys are going to do when they pull on the shirts again next Saturday against Benfos Sports, where hopefully if they've learned one lesson, okay, there isn't going to be a single easy game this season, because everyone is going to be at us. And we have to almost, it's not about how skillful you are. We're going to have to fight for every point and every ball. And you know what? If our team do that and we fall short, okay, they'll get a great big round of applause from me.
Yeah, I totally agree.
On Saturday, they've fully done that.
Yeah. And you know what we would love, this is really important. It's not just about obviously Steve and my views. This is your podcast. It's your unofficial podcast. So please let us know. You know, please don't just shout at at your device. Okay, if we're talking baloney, or if you totally agree with this, you know, or if you're in the middle, it's all fine. Send us an email, please do that, and we will absolutely read every single one, and we'll make sure as well that we go and include your views on the next episode. So robinspodcast@gmail.com, and do follow us on Twitter as well, robinspodcast. So it's at robinspodcast on Twitter and robinspodcast@gmail.com, and if you follow that, you'll get also all of the details, and you can also check us out on Facebook as well, at the BTFC unofficial Facebook group as well. So do check us out on there. I think all there's to say is onwards and upwards, and you know, we love the club, we love being part of this podcast. It's absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much for listening. Please do go and share, like and subscribe. That makes a huge difference for us, okay? So wherever you get your podcasts, and tell all your friends, even if they may be not a Bracknell Town fan, but they are a fan of Nun League, or could be. And until next time, ta-ta for now.
Good night, thanks.
Hi, it's James, Captain Birdseye here. I've got to apologise. We have found out that apparently, Caden hasn't left the club, but he's had to start a new job and has work commitments at the moment, and that's why he can't be playing. So, apologies for getting that wrong. And when we are wrong, we'll definitely say so. Anyway, thank you for listening to the Unofficial Robins Podcast.
Aye, aye, Captain. Loving the show. It's going to be a very exciting month for the Robins, no doubt. So I look forward to hearing your expert analysis every week here on the Unofficial Robins Podcast. Come on, you Robins!
Kindly like, subscribe and share to the Unofficial Robins Podcast.
The Bracknell Town Podcast. For fans, by fans. Come on, the Robins.
Come on, you Robins!